Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This is a bonus checking the inbox episode where we answer questions about dream feeding, breastfeeding, fake names, and more. Let's get started. Hey, Shauna.
Hey.
So once again, we had way too many amazing questions from our listeners to include in one episode.
Yes.
So yes, here we are with some bonus questions for our listeners.
Right.
Yes. So Shauna, I'm going to ask the first question for you. So this is from Lauren. Lauren asks, what's the best thing a friend or family member has done for you after you gave birth?
Oh, that's good. Okay, good question. Now, directly after birth, brought food, bringing me food. We had a few friends that brought over meals. One friend brought over a bottle of wine. It was the first wine I'd had in a long time since being pregnant. So that was really awesome. But what really sticks out in my mind was when Elle was actually about two, and Steve's mom babysat her while Steve and I got a hotel room down in Hollywood and just took the night off from parenting and swam in the pool and went out to a really nice dinner and had a night alone together. And that is one of the best gifts you can really give a parent, is time off.
I've never done that, Shauna.
What? Oh.
I was hoping to, and then the pandemic hit. So, like, my big plan was to do something like that. Actually, we were going to go on, like, a writer's retreat, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Remember that?
That was going to be great.
Yeah, and then I got pregnant. And so now it's really, really hard to take a night off with a newborn when you're breastfeeding. So,
yes.
But I hope to do that sometime soon. It's, I don't know. I mean, the problem is right now I'd still have to pump. So, like, that's a bummer. Like, what's the point of being away if you have to pump?
But yeah, true.
Someday.
And it got harder for me when we had two kids because I'm like, oh no, can the grandma handle two little ones? I don't know. And then the pandemic hit, it was off the table anyway. But now, you know, they're both a little bit older and I think it could be possible. So maybe in the next few months here, we could plan something like that. I hope so.
That would be so fun.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, you know, the main thing obviously that sticks out in my mind is when my mom came and stayed across the street for like a full month with Augie and then 2 months now with Sebastian. Like, what's more amazing than that? Like, I can't even begin to thank her for that. That was so great. But, you know, that aside, because I know not everyone has a setup where they can actually like have a family member come and stay essentially with them for that long. I remember when Augie was born, a friend of ours, Tamara, hi Tamara, I know sometimes she listens to the podcast, she sent us this like huge food basket, basically, or it wasn't a basket, it was like I think it was Dots Cafe. I don't know if you've ever been to Dots, but they basically, it's like kind of was like a deli selection, like, you know, pre-made lasagna and you know, potatoes and all kinds of like pre-made really good, kind of what you get at like the Whole Foods counter, like pre-made food type things, right? Soups and all this stuff. And it fed us for like a week, I swear. I mean, not every meal, obviously, but
yeah.
It was so great to be able to just like open the fridge and pull something out, not have to prep anything. So we actually ended up paying that forward a couple times because it was just so, so great. And then one other thing I would say is that a friend of ours gifted us a sleep training course. And so I was like, that is amazing, because I didn't have the wherewithal to like research that at the time at all. But the fact that just like showed up in my inbox and he told me like, go watch the videos and you'll be fine, it really, really helped. So that was great.
Yes. The thing I'll say about the food is Steve's coworker did a similar thing for us after both babies, but she sent it to the hospital. So she got this huge food box from Jones on 3rd, which is another similar type of restaurant.
Oh, it was Jones. No, you're right. It was Jones, not Dots. I get them confused. Yes, it was Jones.
Okay. So then I know what you're talking about. I know how amazing it is. I couldn't eat at all after giving birth for like 24 hours because I was like nauseous from the medicine. They wouldn't let me eat until like all my nausea went away. And the food was just sitting there in the hospital with no refrigerator and no way to keep the perishables good. So I didn't get to enjoy any of it except like the one bag of potato chips. So if you're going to send food to your friends after they give birth, I say wait until they get home from the hospital and they're at home and you can deliver them food there. So they'll be able to eat it and keep it fresh in the fridge if, you know, they can't eat.
That is a hot tip. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
All right. So should we move on to the next question?
Let's do it.
Okay. Sierra asks, how do you accomplish dream feeds? I have a 2-month-old and it seems so scary. Laura, you have some insight on that?
Mm-hmm. Because I'm doing that right now. It can be scary, especially if you have a baby that like is sleeping well and you're like, oh God, why am I going to interrupt their sleep to do this? I think you kind of have to read your baby. Like some babies do well with it and some don't. So if you have a baby that like fully wakes up with the dream feed and then doesn't want to go back to sleep, like you should stop the dream feed because it's not helping, I think. But if you have a baby that does okay with it, is still kind of drowsy and will go back to sleep afterwards, here's what I do. I stop the snoo because he's in a snoo still. And I just like leave him swaddled and I just bring him up. And sometimes like when he was really little, he wouldn't want to latch. He was so asleep. So I'd have to like kind of like tickle his like neck. I'd have to like tickle his feet. And I had to like use my nipple to like tickle his mouth. And he'd eventually latch. But for me, for both my boys, basically they wouldn't really wake up. They'd stir a little bit, latch on, and then they'd eat. And the interesting thing is like for my boys, they always needed burps. They're like big spitters. But for the dream feed, they never really spit up. They never really had a burp. It was just like a much more relaxed pace of breastfeeding. So yeah, you just pick them up, feed them, and put them down. That's how we do it. But you did it with a bottle, right?
We did. It was actually Steve's job when Elle was younger. We would put her down for bed around 7 and he would wake her up before he went to bed, like around 10 or 11. And same thing, just kind of gently pick her up, leave all the lights off, go sit in the chair and just kind of like tease her little lips until she latched onto the bottle and she would drink it and not wake up at all and then go and lay her back down. And that was it. And then she would sleep for the rest of the night. So it can be done with a bottle or a boob.
Yeah. So Sierra, give it a try if you haven't yet, but it's not as scary as it seems. And if it continues to be scary, just don't do it. It's not required by any stretch. Yeah. A lot of people just don't do it.
Exactly.
Okay. Here's a question from Hannah. How do you handle comparing your baby's milestones to others? My almost 10-month-old isn't crawling yet, and I find myself stressing every time I see a baby crawling. I know he'll get there, but it stresses me out. Shauna, do you have advice for Hannah?
I do. Hannah, that is hard. It is so normal to worry about our baby's milestones when we're in that part of their life and everyone else seems to be crawling and saying their first words and doing all the things that your baby isn't really doing yet. I recently was struggling with this with Cece because I felt like her language development wasn't as fast as your babies, Laura. It's not like she's around a lot of kids. I honestly don't even know like what she's like compared to other kids. But you and I talk and I'm like, wow, Augie is really ahead of Cece. And I got really worried about that to the point where I was asking the pediatrician if I should be concerned and blah, blah, blah. And so first of all, it's just really normal to feel that way. And
well, and I feel the same way in reverse when you talk about how like Cece will like play independently and like do puzzles. Like Augie will not do a puzzle. Like he doesn't do a puzzle. Like he just doesn't do it. And I'm like, is that a problem? Is he like impaired in some way? So, you know, it's just impossible. Like even when we know not to, we compare.
Right. And the thing I will say is, I mean, I have a 5-year-old now and a 2.5-year-old, and the worries that I've had with both of them have faded. Like, I mean, time has helped them come along to their own rate of learning things, whether it be walking, talking, crawling, those types of things. They've come around, they've learned the skill in their own time, and they've been okay. So it's kind of one of those things where you take a deep breath and take it day by day and try not to stress too much. I know that that's really hard. And then also remember that if you really are to the point where you're worried or really stressed, you can ask your pediatrician. You can look into getting some extra help for your child, whether they might need some kind of speech therapy help or occupational therapy if they're struggling physically or something like that. Like services are available and intervening when they're young is really helpful. But for the most part, things even out as they age. And it's in hindsight, once they get older, and you probably forget you ever even worried about it.
Yeah. And go back and listen to episode 150 if you want to hear from parents who like did go through a situation where they needed help with their daughter. John and Allie from the Sensory Overload podcast were interviewed on that episode, for people who don't remember. And they talked about this on the show, which is like, if you have any concerns, like, go get help. That's what it's there for. It doesn't mean there's something dire going on. Like, get the help you need. There's nothing wrong with that. So yeah. I thought that was a really good message they had.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay, so try not to compare too much. I know it's impossible, but comparison is the thief of joy. We always say that. So In the meantime, we should take a little break and we're going to come back. We have a whole bunch of boob questions coming up.
Mm-hmm. Boobs.
Stick around.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know, they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and as we promised, we've got boob questions.
Boobies.
All right. Laura, this is for you.
Okay.
It says...
as most of the boob questions tend to be.
Yes. You are the one nursing two children. I have not done so in quite a long time. Hi. Love your podcast. I've been binging for the last 2 weeks. I just had to, you know, keep that part in there.
Got to pat ourselves on the back.
Can Laura talk about weaning her baby from the boob during pregnancy? My baby's 11 months old and I'm 3 months pregnant, so wondering how her son dealt with the changing milk. Thanks, from Laura on Instagram.
Hello, fellow Laura, who's also nursing through a pregnancy. Yeah, I'm happy to talk about this. I can't talk about weaning my baby because I never weaned him during pregnancy. He just kept nursing. They call it dry nursing, which is a really like unpleasant term for it.
Yeah.
But I think I talked about this a little bit on the show, but around 20-ish weeks, my breast milk turned to colostrum. And there was like one day where Augie like kind of made a face and I was like, is it okay? And he like kind of made a face. I think he might have said like salty. And I was like, do you want to stop? And he said no. And he went back to nursing. And like, that was it. So that's kind of how he dealt with it. He just wanted to nurse more.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he never really stopped. He was fine with it. And then, you know, when my milk came back in, he was extra fine with it. So I never weaned, but it wasn't the most pleasant experience, I have to say. I kind of just kept doing it because I figured it was a bonding thing we could do together. And I didn't have the heart to wean him, basically. And I wasn't sure if I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
I did try to limit it a little bit, especially like early on, because it did sometimes cause contractions, like, and make me have to like stop. Like, I always had to stop. If it started causing contractions, I had to like stop boo-boo time. Mm-hmm. So that was something we had to be conscious about.
Oh, interesting, because Laura has another question that is related to contractions while breastfeeding.
Oh, okay.
Should I read that now?
Please.
Okay. She says, also during Laura's delivery story for her second baby, her OB was going to put her on a pump to help her progress her labor. Not sure if you folks have the answer to this, but why is it okay to breastfeed and pump during pregnancy, but use to progress labor?
Oh, good question. Okay, so first of all, my doctor had talked about it, but it never actually happened. So like, he had talked about if I wanted to do a VBAC, like maybe he would like stick me on a breast pump to try to get me to initiate labor naturally, but it never happened because my water broke and it just didn't happen. I will say that the last week leading up to what was going to be my planned C-section, I did let Augie just like go free reign. Like, I let him nurse whenever he wanted, as long as he wanted, because I thought like, it couldn't hurt, like ripen my cervix or whatever. Like, I have no idea if it had any effect, but you know, I did end up with the VBAC, so who knows. But my understanding, and I'm not an OB, and like everyone needs to check with their doctor, because I do know that some high risk people are told not to nurse during pregnancy and definitely not to pump during pregnancy. But if you're not high risk, like my understanding is that it's okay to continue to nurse, because like the contractions aren't, they're not like real contractions. They're just kind of like Braxton Hicksy. And then if they do get painful, to stop. Like, I was told to stop when I started getting contractions, so I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wasn't high risk. So you should definitely check with your doctor on that, because nipple stimulation is a thing that helps like start labor. So you don't want to do that too early, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good. Good question, Laura. Thank you. Okay, we have two more boob-related questions, but we wanted to bring in some experts to help, seeing as I'm not a lot of help in this regard. So we asked our friends Heather and Maureen from the Milk Minute podcast if they could take a look at these next two questions from our listeners.
Yes, we love the Milk Minute podcast. We were guests on episode 42 recently, and chatting with Heather and Maureen was just super awesome. The Milk Minute podcast, for those who don't know, is a raw, witty, evidence-based podcast that provides breastfeeding education, and it's by these two midwives and lactation professionals that are awesome and are new friends, and they are so great, and we're so grateful that they answered our questions. So let's just hear what they have to say about these two booby questions. You ready?
Let's do it.
Hey, everybody. It's Heather and Maureen over at the Milk Minute podcast.
And we are so excited to be here to answer your lactation questions. The first one says, can you guys talk about oral aversions and bottle aversions? 4-month-old is on a feeding tube.
So that's actually a multifaceted question. When a baby is going through something, so clearly this baby has been through something if they have a feeding tube, some things happened. They had some extra challenges that they had to overcome. And I'm not sure exactly what happened between birth and the time that the feeding tube was placed, but a lot of different things can actually trigger an oral aversion. And luckily, most NICUs have speech-language pathologists and occupational therapists on staff to work with these babies and families to retrain them how to suck and relate food with sucking, because a lot of time that's the problem as well.
Yeah, I mean, that would be where my brain goes to, is like, see if there's an SLP or OT who can help you out, and really, you know, start with maybe non-nutritive sucking first, just to make sure baby sucks correctly, sucks well. And then we're going to slowly introduce that food. You can even do something like finger feeding.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, talking about a 4-month-old, just in general, maybe a 4-month-old that doesn't even have a feeding tube, if they aren't able to coordinate suck, swallow, and breathe, like maybe they're just sick, like they have a stuffy nose or something, they're going to pop on and off the breast, they're going to be upset, they're going to not want it, and that's a little bit different from an oral aversion, but it's similar in the short term, and same kind of thing. Lots of patience, lots of telling yourself and baby that you're both doing a really good job, and you know, you can always nurse in a steamy shower, which is nice.
Right. And again, as we always say, lots of skin to skin while we're doing this, and keep your stress level down. Keep your expectations low, right? Say, okay, this is us learning together and starting a process, like rebuilding this relationship. And it doesn't have to work today. It doesn't have to work tomorrow. There's no big deal if we fail right now. There's no failure, right? Because if you're keeping your stress levels down, baby's cortisol levels are going to be lower too.
That's right. Yeah. And just completely take yourself off of a timeline. I mean, when we veer from quote unquote normal, we have to go ahead and give ourselves all the grace in the world and stop trying to act normal.
Yeah.
Be a little bit abnormal. You know, be the person that is not worried about direct breastfeeding for another couple months, but work at it at little bits at a time so you don't lose your mind.
And, you know, best of luck to you. We really hope that you get this figured out.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're here if you guys need anything. But you're in good hands with Big Fat Positive, of course.
All right. Should we move on to the next one?
We should.
Okay.
All right. This one is from Erica. She says, my 9-week-old just started screaming at my boob every time I try to feed him. Why?
Oh, man, we have all been there. Let me just start out with that. Everyone has a my baby hates my boobs day, week, month.
Mm-hmm. Usually this is a phase.
Yeah.
You know, full-on nursing strikes usually still only last less than 4 days. But the first thing I always do if a baby is, you know, acting a fool at the breast, is check their mouth. Mm-hmm. It's a very simple thing to do. Just check to make sure there's no ulcers. Like sometimes babies get really weird, large canker sores, just like we would. And then make sure if they're pulling on their ears or anything like that, make sure there's no ear infection brewing. And if all of that looks good, then it might just be that maybe your letdown isn't fast enough for baby. Sometimes they get a little pissed off if they have to work for it, especially if they've already started bottle feeding. So what I usually recommend is nipple stimulation a little bit prior to feeding. So by the time they feed, your letdown is right there.
Yeah. I've even had people like express some milk onto your nipple, put it on baby's lips. I have literally squirted it into my baby's mouth before when I'm like, hey, focus, food is coming. You know, and that usually startles them for a second. They stop screaming.
Yep. And if that doesn't work and your baby is just so mad that they can't focus for anything, take your whole shirt off, yep. take their shirt off, put them skin to skin until they calm down, and then try again, because it's almost impossible to latch mm-hmm. a pissed off baby.
Yeah, I really like when they're that angry too. Often I take a blanket and wrap it around the two of us and kind of tuck it in my armpit so it's real tight and they just feel so held. Oh. You know, like a little bit of pressure all around that just helps calm them down. That amount of touch and stimulation is going to lower their cortisol levels. It's going to stimulate, you know, or stabilize their vitals, things like that. And then you start over and you're like, all right, deep breath from baby, deep breath from me. Okay, let's do it again.
That sounds lovely. In fact, I think I want you to do that to me later.
We're just going to hug in a blanket.
Well, we got plans. We got to go. And we hope that that helps you out, and let us know if you need anything else.
Okay, thank you so much, Heather and Maureen. That was awesome, and we can't wait to talk to you guys again soon. But in the meantime, let's take a quick break and come back with our final questions.
Let's do it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we are back and we have a few more questions from this Check in the Inbox bonus episode. Here's one from Whitney. Whitney says, I'm due with baby number two in 3 weeks and I also have a 26-month-old. When putting baby number two down for a nap and you don't have your husband's help or a nanny, what did you do with your older child? Did they help you? Did they actually play independently in another room? Skeptical if my son will actually do this. Or just turn on the TV, LOL. I'm thinking this may happen more often than I want. Shauna, what do you have to tell Whitney about this situation?
Okay, yes, Whitney, I have been there. And yeah, it's really hard to get the older kid to play independently when you are doing something like putting the baby down for a nap. It's not something Elle would ever do when I was in this situation. So my tactics were to bring Elle in on the fun with us, have her come into the bedroom or the nursery and, you know, sing quietly to her, read a book. The thing is to make it seem like a huge responsibility. You know, it's like, Elle, I really need your help. We need to be super quiet so we can help get Cece down for a nap and, you know, make it seem like she's the one that's running the show as the big helper. And she really took that responsibility on and did a great job helping and being quiet. So that was great. If that doesn't work, screen time, screen time, screen time. Not gonna lie.
Let me tell you, if that doesn't work, like it did not in my house, screen time is the answer. Yeah, I tried that, Shauna. I tried that with Augie. Yeah? He was super into it. He's like, I want to help baby brother. I want to help baby brother go to sleep. And I was like, okay, well, let's go in. We need to be really quiet. We're going to put him to sleep. And I got a lot of, is baby brother sleeping? Is he sleeping now? Oh, we have to be quiet. Baby brother needs to nap. I'm like, oh, okay. This is never going to happen again.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. Yeah, screen time. Even if you don't want to take your eye off the toddler, you can give them screen time in the nursery or in the bedroom that you're putting the baby down. I mean, Elle is quiet as a bug when I give her an iPad. You know what I mean? She's just silent. So give her some headphones. Let her sit in the rocking chair. You do your stuff with the baby. That toddler won't make a peep, probably. Yeah. That's my take on it.
Yeah. And I have to say that I felt really like guilty about this. Like, oh man, I'm screen time, so much screen time. And I'm just like sticking him in front of it because I know it's going to shut him off. You know, it's like an off switch. And then my mommy and me teacher said something along the lines of like, it's a tool. You're using it as a tool to help you keep your son safe while you're putting your other son down. And I was like, oh, okay. Like that helped me reframe it. It's a tool to help with a difficult situation that's not going to last forever. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Good question, Whitney, though. Very good question.
Very good question. Okay. This next one is for you, Laura.
Okay.
Has Laura ever accidentally called her kids their podcast names in real life?
Short answer, no. I actually haven't. Not yet. It's been a short period of time I've been calling them by their podcast names. So, yeah, not yet. I've almost called Ellen Cece by their podcast name. Cece especially. Like, for some reason, that just rolls off the tongue. And I can't tell you how many, like, private Facebook posts or Instagram posts I've almost called her Cece on.
That's okay. I do it in real life. And it always is like, wait a minute. No, that's not correct. But I mix up your kids' names with their podcast names in my life.
Oh, really?
Oh, I'll be talking to Steve and I'm like, oh, yeah, Sebastian. I can't wait to meet him. He's like, who's Sebastian? I'm like, Laura's bait. Oh, no, that's not correct. Because I haven't met him yet. I don't have like that name face connection yet. And I hear Sebastian all the time and Augie even. So, yeah, I really can't wait to see them in person so I can really make the real life name connection with those little guys.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll help. That'll help. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have our final question. Final question from Lindsay. Oh, okay, this is a good question. Kind of a big question. She asks, what are your favorite moments from ages 1 to 2 with your kiddos? What are the cool things they learned?
Good question. Wow. I am trying to do a Back to the Future moment here where I'm bringing myself back in time because that feels like eons ago. Let's see.
Well, see, when she's still 2, right?
I don't know if she means... But it's been a long year, girl. It's been a long year.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, I don't know if she means, like, is it just, like, from 1 to 2, like, when they were 1 years old or, like, within this current time frame?
I see. Well, I think that her learning to talk has been the absolute best, coolest thing. I mentioned earlier, you know, it's been a little bit slower with her than it was with Elle, so that gave me some concern. But her vocabulary and conversation skills have exploded in the last couple months. She's would have full conversations with me all the time if like there was enough focus in this house to actually do that. She chatters a lot and I understand what she wants, what she's thinking, what she needs. And it's just awesome. It helps take care of her better because I can give her what she is asking for a lot quicker. She's funny, you know, she like says funny things. She'll repeat things that people said a long time ago and that she thought was funny and like then laugh about it and we laugh and their personality just explodes and comes to life when they really start talking. And so that's been a thing that's been going on since she was one to two up until now. And it's been an amazing journey to witness. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, the talking is really a highlight. I mean, because it's just you suddenly get a window into their world. You know, it's not the talking as much for me as it is like, oh, I suddenly know what's going on in his brain. And it's hilarious. Like, I think sort of an extension of it is the singing. Like, the singing to me cracks me up. These days, Augie wakes up singing his truck tunes. Do you know about truck tunes?
No.
You probably don't because you have two girls. There's an album that you can listen to on Spotify called Truck Tunes. And they're like cement mixer, excavator. It has like every truck that you can imagine. He's obsessed. There's music videos to go with it that he's also obsessed with that we are not watching anymore because he was too obsessed.
Oh.
But he goes to sleep and wakes up singing. Like this morning, he woke up and we heard him going, cement mixer round and round, it turned a dum. Cement mixer down da. Like he knows like half the words. It's just too funny. So oh, I really love the
so
singing.
Cute.
Sort of to go more, you know, global on this, I feel like a lot of people really focus on the baby, like the infant phase, right? Like it's such a special time, obviously, and babies are so freaking cute. And then your baby turns one and suddenly it's like, oh, they're a toddler. Like, this is terrifying, right? Like, everyone, there's so much like scary, I don't know, rhetoric around being a toddler. And being a toddler is, it's challenging and all that stuff. But I have to say, like, I am enjoying toddlerhood more than I ever enjoyed babyhood. With Augie. Like, I want to keep Sebastian small because he's cute and snuggly and it's lovely to have a baby. But like, I'm not going to be too sad, I think, when he turns one, because I know how much fun that like being one is. Like with them, they're just so fun. And especially one to two, like, because the tantrums aren't as bad until like right when they get around two, it's like, ooh.
It's true.
Yeah.
They're more agreeable from one to two. They'll be like, you'll be like, can you throw this in the trash can? They're like, okay. And like run over and throw stuff away.
And they're just so cute. It's just such a cute, fun age. So I just want to say, like, if anyone is dreading their little baby turning into a toddler, I'm here to tell you, like, don't be scared. It's different, sure, but it is just so much fun. It's so much fun.
Yeah, well, they learn to do so many new things. You can do arts and crafts with them, color pictures. They can interact with other kids more and really play. And there's just a lot more opportunity to do and experience things as they get older, too. And those big, quote, scary emotions, I think if you tap into the right parenting resources and where you can learn about what they're going through and why they're reacting in those like big tantrumy ways, that really helps too. It gives you perspective as a parent on what they're going through and how to handle those moments. So the 2-year-old age isn't so terrifying and overwhelming as a parent.
Exactly. Yes. Go listen to some Janet Lansbury, basically. But yeah, no. And Lindsay, great question. And I think that might be it for our bonus episode.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, everybody, so much for sending in your questions. We love, love, love answering your questions. If there's anything else you want to know from us, please reach out. Laura, where can they reach us?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us a voice memo or just a plain old email, send it to contact at BigFatPositivePodcast.com. Finally, if you want to join the coolest community on the internet, search Big Fat Positive Community on Facebook, request to join, answer the membership questions, and you'll get sent straight through to the coolest private group that you can find on Facebook.
If you love our show, please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts and spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.